Michigan's Mid-South Wrestling Memories. Brought to you by Budweiser, Tech Info, Garfield's, and Coca-Cola. The opinions on this show do not reflect those of WNIX or the River Group. Now let's join show host Buddy Huggins.
Is the legendary Dory Funk Jr. Dory, can you hear me? Terribly. But we're checking to see that he's on the telephone line right now. Dory, can you hear me? Dory? Okay. Yeah, Dory, I hear you. We need to cut the mic up just a little bit on Dory.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I got you.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Sorry for the delay.
Well, that's the way things go. This is our third show. This is we're putting everything together here. I've got a good crew of folks working with me on this thing. We're coming to you from Greenville, Mississippi. And, of course, on the radio, we've got the legendary Dory Funk Jr. now. Proud to have you, Mr. Funk. How you doing?
Hey, it's really a pleasure to be here. I used to wrestle back in that part of the country quite some time ago. And I know a lot of the wrestlers that are still around here. And I got a lot of good friends.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We remember you quite well, some of the matches that you had in Jackson, Mississippi, back in the 70s against my good friend around that time, Cowboy Bill Watts.
Right, I did wrestle quite a wrestler in that area, Cowboy Bill Watts, and I wrestled him for the world championship down there in Jackson quite some time ago. He's a great athlete.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Could you, for the people, we might need you to speak up just a little bit. But for the people that that remember you in Texas, and we want to know a little bit about the history of you go way back. Can you give us some history, like a history lesson, how that great Amarillo connection came to be with Paul Bosch, Houston, Texas, and then the different territories? You told me at one time there were 22 territories running. But go all the way back to when your father was and how you got started.
Okay, you don't want me to go all the way back, because that's gone back a real long time. But essentially, my father was a professional wrestler. I grew up in professional wrestling. And really, my father was my trainer. I was trained by watching him, listening to him, and growing up with him. I grew up in the wrestling business. So as I went through high school, I participated in athletics, football, and amateur wrestling. Went on to college on a football scholarship, and when I finished my football career in college, I made the turn to professional wrestling, and that was way back, not too far back, it was only 1963. But I had my first professional match in Amarillo, Texas. My father was a very famous wrestler there, and he was also the promoter of the territory. So from my first match, I've continued to this present time in the wrestling business without ever looking back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I could stick in there that in 1969, I was fortunate enough in Tampa, Florida to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And that put me on a 4.5-year trip that was a fabulous ride through the wrestling business. And I had the opportunity at that time to travel all over the world and face all the great wrestlers in all the territories and work for all the promoters. And you mentioned Paul Bosch. There were others. There was Sam Mushnick. There was Jim Crockett. Roy Shire, Mike LaBelle, Ed Francis from Honolulu. There were great promoters, great territories all over the world that I had the opportunity to work with. Betty Graham in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Gulas in Tennessee. Leroy McGurk, who I know you guys are familiar with, in the Oklahoma territory, and later Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi. George Calkin, also, or as I knew him, George Curtis in Jackson, Mississippi. But I really had the opportunity to meet lots of great people in wrestling, and wrestle against great opponents, the likes of Jack Briscoe, Harley Race, Pat O'Connor, Lou Fez, and the great Ric Flair.
Yes, sir. There's a lot of history that people know about, and it seems, you know, just me talking to the internet connection folks and the people that keep up with the history, I've got a good friend in Arizona, kfabememories.com. He's just a fanatic on the history. So he's doing it on...
kfabememories.com?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And,
do you know Jim Weber by any chance?
The name, I've heard it. What, is he tracking history too?
Yeah, he's another one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a small group of us actually doing this right now, and with this radio show, we're the only radio interview show in the country that's actually looking back and really trying to. Over the next year, I'm going to be tracking. Not just it's called Mid-South Wrestling Memories, but. It seemed like everything came through Mid-South because I lived here, and I had the opportunity to see the Leroy McGurk, the George and Gil Calkin connection, and then, of course, the Bill Watts connection, and then what you mentioned in Tennessee with a lot of people know Jeff Jarrett, but his daddy, Jerry Jarrett, and his grandmother. And
so much in the wrestling business goes back to my father, George Huntington. I know you've heard of Eddie Graham, who was the wrestling promoter in Florida for Championship Wrestling in Florida. He was originally he wrestled in the Amarillo territory. Watched my father, Dory Funk Sr., was his best friend, and Eddie Graham learned from my father. Dory Funk Sr. went on to open the Florida territory. At the time Eddie was there, Bill Watts came in to book for Eddie Graham. Bill told me that he spent his time as a booker in the Florida territory just studying everything that Eddie Graham did. He was just soaking up all the information he could. Bill went on to Mid-South and became a huge success. Bill trained Jim Ross, who at the present time is probably the finest announcer in the business, working for WWF. But if you really take a look at Jim Ross, chase his roots back to where did he come from and where did the people who taught him come from. At the end of the trail, you get back to Dory Funk Sr. in the Amarillo Territory.
Exactly, and the history that is missing and is prior to 1976 back. That's what we'll be working on.
I can fill you in on that.
Well, that's my mission in the next over a period of time. I know we're always limited on radio, you know, with the same thing like TV. We got a commercial break coming up, and as soon as this commercial break's over, what we'll do is we'll track some steps back to some of those Texas connections, and we're fixing to go to a break here in just a second. But the history, if we look back. We can teach these kids what wrestling is really about.
I think you may know Jim Weaver. His name is Skander Akbar.
I do know him.
Okay.
I do know him very well. All right.
Okay,
all right, we're going to break.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
You stand like a sentry outside the grounds of our national pastime, offering us your salty nuts.
Nothing crunchy.
Half price on the outside, all the taste. That's your pitch.
Nuts for scratch.
There's nothing like spending a summer day on a hard bleacher seat, crunching your nuts. Unless maybe it's sitting behind home plate, spreading mustard on your wiener. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller, because thanks to you, a bag of peanuts costs just peanuts.
Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When it comes to internet providers, you can either choose the leader or a service that is second best. TechInfo was the first internet provider in the Delta. They were the first with 56K technology. They were also the first to institute the V90 standard. And now, TechInfo has web-based email service, which allows you to check your email from anywhere in the world. So why be with an internet provider that's always following? Call 1-800-863-5415 today and sign up with a proven leader, TechInfo.
Hello, I'm Joe Montana, the famous quarterback.
Hey, Joe, is it really you?
That's me, Joe Montana, in the flesh. Enter the Coca-Cola Craft Super Bowl 35 sweepstakes, and you could be enjoying an awesome Super Bowl party with me, Joe Montana.
Hey, Joe, can I get your autograph?
There you go, kiddo.
Awesome!
You could also win a Super Bowl ticket, a home entertainment system, or football gear like this football signed by me. Joe Montana.
Hey, Joe, throw me the ball.
Okay, go along. Oops, sorry.
Joe Montana was not available for the making of this radio commercial. The real Joe Montana was too busy preparing hors d'oeuvres, stocking up on ice-cold Coke, and signing football gear for the big pregame party on January 28th. For a chance to meet the real Joe, see your nearest participating Coca-Cola retailer for details. Entries must be received by 1-1701. No purchase necessary.
Do like me, Joe Montana, and enjoy the game with Coca-Cola.
Let's go back to Mid-South Wrestling Memories with program host Buddy Huggins and our guest today, one of my favorites for all time, Dory Funk Jr. Buddy?
Dory, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure, I got you.
All right, we might need you to speak up just a little bit. Sometimes,
yeah, I'm going to do that for you.
Sometimes we drop the signal just a hair. We want to make sure people can hear you all over the world. You know, we're on the Internet. This show goes up on my website, and I've got a link to your website, dory-funk.com. You go to my website at www.midsouthwrestling.com. You can see that. You can also get there through wiqq.com. And that's how you get live every week on this. If you're listening in the Greenville, Mississippi greater area, that's the key for that is to get connected with the internet through Tech Info. Now, Mr. Funk, what we were talking about it's a mission that I've set out to get the history for some of these young guys and some of these old timers, the fans that like to look back on what wrestling was. What we see on TV has turned into something that I'm not proud of. I've been a fan since 1968, and I really loved it, and I hate to say it, I'm not proud of it right now, but you're doing the traditional style, and I'm connecting myself with the people that do the old school traditional style, and that's the only way we're ever going to bring any territory back is to do it the right way.
Do you want me to comment on that?
Most definitely, and tell us.
In some ways, I agree with you, but there are some changes that are being made. As you know, I run the wrestling school up here, the Funkin' Conservatory. And we have had some kids recently come through my training program that have had a big influence on the wrestling business today. And these are kids, young, new kids that work the tails off. And the ones I'm talking about are like Kurt Angle, Rikishi, Steve Corino, Rhino Richards, Edge, Christian, Lita, Matt and Jeff Hardy, and Test. Those fellas have all come through my training program and they're doing one heck of a job. The majority of them for the WWF, but if they didn't get in at the WWF, they banged the doors down and got themselves in somewhere else. Now, in some ways, I can agree with what you're saying, but on the other side of it, I have had the privilege of training with some very great young athletes and preparing them for the professional wrestling business, and some of them are really doing a great job right now. I do miss the business as it was when there were 30 territories. It was a great business. It was a fabulous business. It has changed, but we're doing what we can to bring in some really great wrestling talent into the wrestling business.
Yes, sir. The part that that makes me ashamed of what I see on TV is the part that takes it to a scandalous state. And I know your students, they do the best to stick to old school style wrestling, but you know they got a script writer nowadays that does it for them. And this part, I love Lita. She's a wonderful athlete, great trained.
She's one of our trainees here at the Funky Conservatory.
And I can see the talent. You know, I can tell that she knows how to wrestle. But let me say this, and you see where I'm headed with this part. I don't believe no one wants to see a man knock a woman down. In this day and time, that kind of pop is not needed, and we're seeing it. It started growing about 6 months ago, and it just seems that they just want to just destroy a woman and physically let a man beat her. Well, my point of view is that children don't need to see that. Some of the children see that at home in their home life, and it just brings out memories and things that just don't need to be brought up in wrestling. Has absolutely nothing to do with the way you guys did it in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Now, when you guys did it in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you did it every night in a number of towns with great crowds. What we have now is we have hardly no wrestling in a wide swath of area where the crowds are just a real minimum crowd. They turn out and they see performances by people that are not trained, by promoters that have no clue what they're doing. And that's the other part that I'm ashamed of. But we've got to all work together, the ones that's in the know. I took my time to learn what real connections were and how do you communicate. The business was kept such a secret for so many years, then all of a sudden, anybody can buy a pair of boots, anybody can buy a promoter's license, and the proof is in the pudding. You mentioned that you won a great prestigious title in 1969.
Right.
That title carries absolutely no weight no more, and I wish that it would carry some weight, but it's been...
Well, the only thing that I would say is that what that title was still carries weight. What is left of the organization is really virtually nothing. But what the title was at that time carries weight. What Harley Race and Jack Briscoe and Luthez and all those guys were at that time still carries weight. What you see now is not linked in any way to, or in only a very small way to what took place back then.
And why did that? That's I'm jumping way ahead trying to get to a point.
Yeah.
But there's a point in history that for 20 years it was ran a certain way. And Bill Dundee, he was telling me last week, he said, but buddy, there wasn't that many people making money. The promoters were making money. Now you've got one guy making all the money. He pays the top wrestlers real well, but everybody else, like, that's coming up through the system, well, there's just not no good quality places for them to go like it was in the territorial days. Why did that die? Bill Watts gave me some opinions. What's your opinion?
My opinion is it was a natural progression. I mean, wrestling became very popular, and television has always been the lifeblood of professional wrestling. Bill may have told you that. In the past, be it local television or national television. And when wrestling went mainstream and television became national, there became two or three very powerful television stations or television networks or syndicates or whatever you might want to call them. It became dominant in professional wrestling. And professional wrestling followed television. And, you know, I love life, and I don't want to go back to just exactly the way life was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I think changes take place, and, you know, I think we have to live with the changes. What could be done about it to improve the business? I think the important thing, more important than any storylines or anything that writers can dream up for wrestlers, I think the most interesting is the real life of the real wrestlers, the life of the people who really are there. I think that's very interesting. And I think also the most important thing about what's going to draw people or put people in the house is what takes place and what happens between the bell, between the two bells, the bell to start the match and the bell to indicate that the match is over. I think the performance in the ring is the most important thing. And I really do think that can be changed. Something can be done about it, and we're doing our best here at the Funky Conservatory to bring young, fresh, new, athletic, cosmetically appealing talent into the wrestling business. We've got some kids that we have trained that are there. I just named off about 10 world champions that are really, really good athletes, have made the sacrifice to be professional wrestlers. Believe me, I know. And they've done it because they love the wrestling business. When they were in training, they were doing it without money. Now, of course, they are making big money. And we have more. I know coming up, you're going to be talking soon to Adam Winter. He's a fine wrestling talent, and wherever he goes, he will represent the big wrestling business well. And the people that are really well trained and the good athletes will be in demand. They will attract wrestling fans, and when they attract wrestling fans, ultimately the promoters are—they're going to want them if they're young and look good and can work and put people in the seat. Then the promoters are going to want them. They're greedy. They want the money. And kids like that will draw money.
Yes, sir. Well, the part that you said about the most, one of the things that is most important is between the bells. Well, that's what we're doing here in Mississippi in the Mid-South Territory, Louisiana, Texas, Alabama. I'm working with people that only do it the right way, and we put absolutely no one in the ring that's not trained. People keep telling me, well, buddy, how long is it going to take you to bring wrestling back? It's going to take as long as it takes. I'm a newcomer to it. I've only been involved in it for a short period of time, but I seem to make a lot of headway with...
opening up a promoter's program for anybody that wants to be a wrestling promoter. I think wrestling is mainstream now, and there are maybe lots of people out there interested in promoting. If they are, we offer a special course for promoters, and it includes television production, video editing, everything that they might need to do to get into the wrestling business and take advantage of the way mainstream has taken in professional wrestling in this modern day and time. Wrestling is no longer something that was, it has never been small time, but it has become mainstream right now. There's lots to be done out there, lots of money to be made, because there are only two promotions right now that are really successful. And done the right way, wrestling can be a profitable.
Well, Harley Race said last week, as a matter of fact, that he can't predict the actual when and where's and how's, but he predicts the territories to come back just because of what you just said. I'm going to take you up on that offer, and I'm going to come to Florida, and I'm going to bring some of my top students down there. You and I have discussed this in the past, but we'll sit down and get a pen and pencil and a date time, and... I want to learn from the best, and I want my students to learn from the best. We have a great trainer in JC in Jackson, Mississippi, and we're training kids in Mississippi. But we always need to work together, the people that are doing it right, and we need to make sure that these kids do it the right way. Number one, we don't want no one hurt, and that's the most important thing in my organization's safety. I want the best performance. I want the best wrestling that I can get out of people, but I strive for safety. You've seen Sid Vicious break his leg in the ring the other night?
I saw it.
Yes, sir. You've seen situations like that many times, probably, where freak accidents happen.
Well, yeah, I've seen people hurt accidentally, and I've seen people hurt on purpose. It can be a dangerous business, yeah.
That's why, you know, when people, you know, talk about it being entertainment, well, it can get real quick. And what we've got to do here in Mississippi is this. We've got to make it real. We've got to turn the clock back to 1970, 1960, and we've got to get these fans back on our side. Every time we run a show, the crowd seems to get bigger and bigger. But I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to take my time. We're working this week, as a matter of fact, to announce some show dates coming up. It'll be the Spring Tour 2001, Mid-South Wrestling, kicking off all over the Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, even Oklahoma. We've got a show planned in Oklahoma. You remember Tom Jones?
Absolutely. I know Tom Jones very well.
He'll be working with me on that show, and he's a great talent. He's training kids up there in the Oklahoma area. The gentleman you mentioned earlier, Skandar Akbar,
right.
Talked to him just the other day. He'll be on the show, as a matter of fact, next week.
Would you have a chance to talk to Skandar Akbar? Please bring up Vernon, Texas, and Texas High School football. He is an absolute history book on it.
Yes, sir. He's a wonderful person. I've been seeing him come to Mississippi for quite a while, and I want to get him started back coming to Mississippi. And I want Killer Carl Cox, some of the other people that you're familiar with, Ernie Ladd, he'll be working with me. Of course, he's with the president. They're doing the inaugural thing. I think he's fixing to land a job. I'll check with him next week to just see what kind of position he's landing, because... Well, we're booking him like 3 months ahead now for to come in and meet the people here in Mississippi. I tell you, he impressed me highly as a professional person back then, and even now as a spiritual person and a great leader.
Absolutely. Everything we're talking about is so doggone interesting. I don't want to let our time get away. I do have the future of professional wrestling with me right here. And he's only 18 years old. Coming to England. He came over here, been with me for a little over a year now, and his finest prospect in the professional wrestling business. In fact, he is not a prospect. He is there through a year in our training function conservatory here. He's a veteran of over 140 matches, and already has accomplished the Florida Heavyweight Championship here. And Adam Windsor is his name. And be sure and write it down, because it's a name you'll hear over and over again in the future. And he'll be here to talk to you in just a few minutes.
Yes, sir. After we go to a break, we'll come back and you and I will finish up, and then we'll put him on. And I want to hear from him. There's not going to ever be enough time for you and I to really discuss this history, because people are going to want me to shut up and for me to let you talk about the history. I'm just so determined to do something right for the wrestling, and I know that working with you guys and talking about the history and showing people that sometimes what they see at some of these shows around the country, don't be dissuaded by that. If you see talent that's in the ring that looks unprofessional, they have to learn and they have to, you know, go take a start. But you got to put the blame on somebody for you know, keep constantly running wrestling down. And I hate to say it, but there's some folks out there that's doing it totally the wrong way, and I don't want to be involved in that. But we're fixing to take a break, and I'll get back with you. You and I will close out and discuss the next time you come on, so we can have another history lesson.
Okay, great.